Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. Proverbs, chapter 4. We're going to read several verses all out of the book of Proverbs, just one verse at a time. So I'll need you ready to turn the pages quickly this morning. Proverbs, chapter 4, verse number 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, I'll read this verse to you. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now turn to Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 4. Let's read this one in unison together. Ready? Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 4. Ready? He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Now, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 27. I'll read this verse. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Now, Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 4. You'll read this verse with me. Proverbs 13, 4. Ready? The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Now, Proverbs chapter 21. I'll read verse number 5. Proverbs 21, verse number 5. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. Now, Proverbs chapter 22. We're going to read verse 9 together. Ready? Proverbs 22, verse number 9. Ready? He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Now the last verse, Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 23. Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 23, and let's read this together as well. Ready? Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Lord, thank you for your people gathering together. Most of all, thank you for being here. Not just on this property, but in the hearts of each and every believer. Father, please fill our preacher with your power today. Lord, fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts, change our lives. Lord, this old world is sick. It needs you. It needs us to live right and to do what you have commanded us to do. And Father, please use our preacher. Help us to do that which we should do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
The sermon this morning, I want to start by saying, I would like to tell you how not to respond to it. Because a sermon tends toward a sermon of correction. Let me say, first of all, one of the things that people do when they're corrected is they want to quit and they want to run. I say, don't quit and run. Face it and fix it. Don't quit and run. If you get mad this morning, get mad at yourself. I definitely prefer that. If you desire to be critical, may I ask that you start with the one that you know best, and that's you. Face it. Fix it. Don't look for excuses. Look for solutions. Don't quit. This would be a bit like maybe something that I might preach on a Sunday night rather than a Sunday morning. Brother Williamson, I'm going to use this microphone. But I'm going to throw a little bit of a fit about something. But it'll be good for us, I'll assure you. I was listening to that beautiful song about even in the valley, God is good. And I thought, well, that's such a sweet song. I need to preach on everybody's burdens, and I'm going to give everybody one here in a minute. So you might think that's a perfect song for this morning because we're going to the valley for a little while. The sermon of today is called The Great Need of Character in the New Testament Church. The Great Need of Character in the New Testament church. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That word diligence there to me is important. God is saying, even with your heart, it's going to take diligence for you to control it and control yourself. It says, keep with all diligence. God's telling you, learn to control your heart. Don't let your heart get away from you. The Bible says in Psalm 64:6, they search out iniquities and they accomplish a diligent search. Here the Bible says that people that search out iniquities, people, wicked people, use diligence. They use diligence. The wicked have character. Psalm 77:6 says, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Here the Bible's talking to us about character and our attitude, character and our spirit. Here it says that, and my spirit made diligent search. There's that word diligence again. Somebody's using character in regard to their attitude. They're using character in regard to their personal spirit. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent shall make rich. Here the Bible's talking to us about diligence in our finances. We need to use diligence. We need to use character in the way that we handle ourselves financially. Earlier I teased about Brother Mongan saying, you know, encourage people to get their tax checks to use the money right so they don't waste it. And by the way, what was he saying? He said, make sure you let character kick in and not the fact that you have a few extra bucks, you go waste it now. Maybe that's what you did all year long. It's time to get control of that. Proverbs 12:27 says, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Here it's talking about character and our possessions. It says the substance of a diligent man is precious. See, we need character with our emotions, and we need character with our attitude and our spirit, and we need character with our finances, and we need character with our possessions. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Here's talking about prosperity. Everybody's looking for a quick way to success, but the truth is, you want to succeed, you're going to have to develop some character. Most people that have succeeded without character, they're succeeding because of somebody else's character. They inherited something. Something was given to them. But somewhere down the line, success was achieved by character. Proverbs 21:5 says, the thoughts of a diligent man tend only to plenteousness. Here the Bible's talking about your mind and having character in your mind. Did you know that God can give you the ability to control your mind? Get your mind under control. You say, I'm just overwhelmed with bad thoughts. Well, you don't have to be, because you can control your mind. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse number 29, seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. Here the Bible's talking about your business. It's talking about your business dealings. And those of you that are building businesses, if you want to succeed, you're going to have to get character. That's just all there is to it. And if you can build a business without character, I promise you the way you're doing it is you're using somebody else's character. Somebody else is building that business for you. Then in Proverbs 27:3 it says, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. Here's talking about your record keeping. You need to know where you're at. You need to know what you have, what you owe, who you owe it to, when it's due. You need to know what's going on around you. The average person, you take, and I'll associate this with finances for a minute. The average person just doesn't know their finances. They don't keep them organized. But the average business that suffers, they're suffering because of lack of organization. I could take you to churches all across America that they don't have to be a little struggling church like they are, but they're not organized. They don't know the state of their flocks. They're not organized. They're not taking care of the organizational part of life. And folks, it's going to take character if you're going to be organized. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6 says this, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And can I tell you all something? You are not going to be close to God if you don't develop your character. Did you understand what that said? He said he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'm going to tell you why some of you are not good Christians. You don't have the character to read your Bible every day. I'll tell you why some of you are not good Christians. You don't have the character to pray every day. You can't make yourself go to prayer every day. You can't make yourself read your Bible every day. You can't make yourself show up for church. You're not a good Christian because your character is waning. And you're not a good Christian because you don't make yourself pray. You don't make yourself read your Bible. You don't make yourself go soul winning. Here he said, I will reward you if you get some character about you so that you will diligently seek me. America's full of people today that if it's not easy, they don't want to do it. And so, you know, the devil knows that. He's going to do everything he can to keep you from walking with God, because to walk with God and to be spiritual, it might take a little effort and it might not be easy. You found that out. You found that out. It's not easy to be consistently spiritual and walk in the Spirit. What's that take? It takes character. It takes character to walk in the Spirit. It takes character to read your Bible every day. It takes character to pray every day. It takes character to be faithful to church. It takes character. So America's in trouble, see. The character of the people of the United States of America is, in my opinion, probably at its weakest point in the history of our country. You see it on a variety of fronts. Our quick accepting of the socialistic trend in government is proof of it, because everybody wants somebody to do something for them so they don't have to do it for themselves. Everybody wants somebody to take care of them. Everybody wants somebody to make up the slack of their own personal lack of character. I believe people in our country are out of control. I believe people have become very undependable in America. I believe people have become very inconsistent in America. I believe people have become very uncommitted in America. I believe we have an immorality landslide that is a result of a lack of self-control and people just deciding, I'm going to do what's right, not what my body tells me to do. People have a lack of determination in America. People are, hey, America proved it. Financial irresponsibility. I mean, if you've not seen that in the last 2 years in America, it's pathetic. What's wrong with America? Well, America has a dearth of character. A dearth of character. People lack drive and people lack desire. Achievement being a must seems to be an attitude of the past. If you work extra hard today, you're considered a workaholic. That word sounds to me like alcoholic. You work extra hard, people tell you, you better slow down. I'm going to tell you something. Working hard, don't you compare me to an alcoholic. There's no comparison. We have almost made it so if somebody is an extra hard worker, there's something wrong with them. I'm sorry, there's something right with them. You run a business today, and if you expect hard work and character out of people, you're considered abusive and dictatorial. Character is no longer a key word in our child rearing. Keywords are cell phone and PlayStation. God's people are to be different. And in many ways. And one of the ways that you and I as born-again Christians are to be different is to be in our character. In our character. This lack of character, though, here's what happens. If we have a lack of character, then it is going to affect the local New Testament church. And I'll tell you something. I feel sorry. You know, I help a lot of pastors and I talk to a lot of pastors and I really do feel sorry for them, because they ask me questions. And the truth is, a lot of what they struggle with, I'm talking about with their people at their churches. And I basically, in the back of my brain, and often I say to them, I say, our problem is we don't live in the same society as our forefathers did. The character, even of the Christians in America today, it is anemic. I don't think we're comparing apples to apples in regard to the character of the people of today compared to the character even of the Christians of 100 years ago. Just not the same. Do you realize in the history of America, they used to have 2-week revival meetings where the people would come to the church every night, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 2 weeks they would have a revival meeting at the church, and they would pack it out. And sometimes they just decide to go ahead and go for 3 or 4 weeks every night. You can have a 2 or 3 week meeting in an evening now, and everybody says, well, what are you going to do to us? The character of the people in America is not what it used to be. Not what it used to be. You just take, and any of you that are in the workforce, you know exactly what I mean. You know exactly what I mean. You get about half of what you deserve out of people anymore. Let me tell you this morning, I'm going to talk to us about this thing of the great need of character in the church. I'm going to talk to our church, though. Let me say, first of all, the church needs us all to learn how to be on time. How to be on time. That's a character issue. Ecclesiastes 3:17 says, I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time, there is for every purpose and for every work. God says, for every purpose and every work, there is a time. Folks, did you know you're supposed to be on time to work? You're supposed to be on time to work. You say, well, I don't get penalized at work until I'm 10 minutes late. Did somebody tell you that you're supposed to use 9 of those 10 minutes and that's right? That is not right. If you're supposed to be there at 8, you ought to be there a few minutes before 8, not at 8. And America today, I don't understand this thing of being late for everything. I don't. We're to be. Did you know you ought to be on time for Sunday school? Did you know you ought to be on time for church? Did you know you ought to be on time for your music practice? Did you know you ought to be on time for choir practice? Did you know you ought to be on time for the Christian school? I'm going to tell some of you parents something. You are training your children terribly bad in regard to their character. You would not believe the list of the tardiness at the Christian school. Sad. Why? We don't care. Folks, don't get quiet now. There's more to come. Even in the valley, God is good. You ought to be on time with your tithe. You ought to be on time for any commitment. You ought to be on time for any meeting. Hey, nursery workers, be on time. If you're supposed to be there 20 or 30 minutes before the service starts, get there. I feel sorry for parents that stand at the door at the nursery for 15 minutes waiting on the nursery worker that should have been there on time. On time. Be on time. It's a character trait. This is as simple as a day is long. And here's the amazing thing. Some of you gray hairs are going to say, why would you need to preach something like that? I apologize, gray hairs. This new generation does not understand. They don't understand being on time. Be on time. Be on time. I stand back here when it's time to start the service, and everybody will tell you, I'm watching that clock. I'm watching the clock in the hallway while we're all waiting to come in. I'm watching on it to get right where it's supposed to be. Why? We start on time. I mean, almost virtually to the second. It's an issue with me. It ought to be an issue with you. The church needs to learn to be on time. Secondly, I think the church needs to learn to be faithful. It's called character. Proverbs 26:20 says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. You ought to be faithful to your Bible reading. You ought to be faithful to your prayer time. You ought to be faithful to your Sunday school class. You ought to be faithful to your Sunday school class. Some of you assistant Sunday school teachers, we gave you that position expecting you to show up on time. I walk through the Sunday schools, and sometimes I'll walk in there, and there are 5 children in the class, no teacher, no Sunday school teacher. I'm going to tell you something. That bothers me. Be where you're supposed to be. Remember, I started this lesson by saying, first of all, the way to respond to this is not to quit. Well, I'll just quit. That proves the need of the sermon. I'll just quit. I'll just quit because you're correcting me for not being in my place. We ought to be faithful. You be faithful to church. Be faithful to the bus meeting. Be faithful to the captain's meeting. Now look, I realize something. I realize there are emergencies, and for that there is an accommodation. I understand. We accommodate that. I realize that. But good night, folks. You don't live in an emergency state 52 weeks out of the year. Not at all. Be faithful to the Wednesday night Sunday school teachers meeting. Be faithful to your duty. Be faithful to your ushering. Be faithful to your custodial duties. Be faithful to soul winning. Be faithful to mowing the grass. We ought to learn to be faithful. Your goal should always be 100% attendance. That ought to be your goal. Brother Ronnie Shiflett, I think it was his bus route about a year ago. We honored a writer that had ridden the bus. Brother Ronnie, how many consistent weeks did that gal ride the bus? Do you remember? 100. A year ago we honored her, and it's over 100 now without missing one time. That, listen, that is a bus kid. How could a bus kid not miss 150 services in a row? Somebody's got character. In fact, I might give her your Sunday school class. Faithful. There would have been a time and a generation a preacher get up and say this, it wouldn't have offended anybody. They would have said, well, that's normal. It ought to be that way. But now it's almost unheard of, and it's offensive that we practice just what we call good character. We ought to be on time. We ought to learn to be faithful. Thirdly, you need to learn to control your tongue. And see, that's a character issue. Tongue control is a character issue. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, folks, right here, I have, this is my thigh. There's a pretty big muscle right there. Well, it's not as big as it used to be. But may I tell you something? I believe when it comes to spiritual strength, there's more power in the tongue than in the thigh. The Bible talks about the power of the tongue. Realize the power of your tongue. You want to challenge your character. Let's see how well you can control that little member tucked behind your white pearly teeth called your tongue. Your tongue. Don't gossip. Don't criticize. You don't have to repeat everything that you hear. You don't even have to listen. You wouldn't have to control your tongue if you could control your ears. Don't backbite. Don't misuse the text mechanism on your telephone or your email or your Facebook, whatever that thing is. I'm shocked at the trash that some of you are using on Facebook. Look, if something's right, it's right. And if it's wrong, it's wrong. Right is right and wrong is wrong. You know, when we talk about our tongue, what's it talking about? Our communication. It's talking about our communication. It takes a lot of character to control the way you communicate. The church needs us all to learn to be on time. The church needs us all to learn to be faithful. The church needs to learn us all to control our communication. Then the church needs us all to learn responsibility in regard to covering our duties when we're hindered. When we have responsibility, what we're to do is if we can't do our responsibility, then we make sure that that responsibility is cared for. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Now, I was taught when I was growing up that if I had a duty and I could not fulfill that duty, I just didn't ignore it. I tried to make sure that that duty was properly covered. Assistant Sunday school teachers that just flat out just don't show up for Sunday school. There's a weakness that I'm afraid of. I love the fact that we have teachers and assistant teachers. Somehow somebody's gotten the idea that if you have an assistant teacher, it makes it so you don't have to come to Sunday school and your assistant teacher will just step up and do it for you. We didn't set this thing up with teacher and assistant teacher in Sunday school so you could swap off and be gone every other week. It was done for a reason. But it's getting quieter and quieter. It's going to be a long afternoon for me. Nursery workers that don't even show up. Don't call. I find my nursery superintendents a little bit, I could even say discouraged. Never is there to be a nursery superintendent that is working in the nursery all the time. They are a part of a rotation. A nursery director's, that's supposed to be happening. You can't sit in your nursery all the time. There's a reason for that. But here's what's happening. When nursery worker does not show up, and a nursery director has to cover for the nursery director has to cover for a nursery worker that doesn't show up, that's not fair. children's church workers, they don't follow the schedule, they just don't show up. You see, when I grew up, my dad said, "Son, this is your responsibility." It almost seemed unreasonable when he said, "It's your responsibility whether you're the one to do it or you're not. It still needs to be done." We say number five, I think the church needs us all to learn to control our emotions. It takes character. It really does. Proverbs 14:29, it says, "He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly." We have to learn how to control our opinions. We talked about that on Wednesday night. We have to learn how to control our stinginess. We have to learn how to control our temper. We have to learn how to control our bitterness. We have to learn how to control a bad attitude. You have to learn how to control that jealousy issue that gets down inside you. You have to learn how to control your desire for revenge. You have to learn how to control, you know, the Bible talks about peace and how we ought to exercise peace. I think in our relationships with whether it be with husband and wife or friends, that we ought to seek peace, not war. Now, I told you tonight, I'm going to talk about when peace is not so peaceful. But predominantly, your goal in mind is that we ought to want to get along. We ought to learn how to encourage people, not discourage people. We ought to help the church's spirit, not hurt the church's spirit. But I'm going to tell you, when people will not use their character to control their emotions, you hurt the church. You say, "Well, I'm just the kind of person that's going to tell you what's on my mind." That's not real smart. If we all just went around speaking our peace all the time, there would be nobody left at the church. Not everything that's in your brain is smart to talk about. Matter of fact, if you're going to just tell us everything that's in your mind, why don't you tell us the filth that's in there too? Or are you deciding to control that? You don't want to let that out where anybody could see it, do you? So you're not really one that just wants to tell us all your mind. You just want to tell us the part of your mind that you want to tell us. It's not all your mind. What I'm trying to tell you is you better learn how to control your emotions. That it takes character to do that. It does. It takes character to do that. I have watched some people. I've watched people in our church going through some very difficult times. And I've watched them say to themselves, "I've got to be careful with me." That takes character. "I'm going through a tough time, so I'm going to have to watch me to control me so I don't mishandle this or mishandle." That's character. That's character. You better put a check on your emotions. It takes character to put a check on it. You know what that means? You have a conversation in your brain about what you ought to say and to who long before you ever say it. If not, you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to hurt somebody. So the church, the New Testament church, is desperate in this day and age to learn character so we can have character over our emotions. But not only that, I think the church needs all of us to learn how to keep our word. How to keep our word. The Bible says in 1 Kings 8:56, "Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel. According to all that he promised, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise." You and I need to learn how to keep our promises. You know, there are some of you, you have stepped up into positions of responsibility in the church. And you committed yourself to keep some promises about church attendance and meetings and how you would behave yourself and dress and tithe and you're soul winning. But you're not keeping your promise. So you say, "I'll just quit." If everybody had that attitude, where would the church be? The New Testament church did not survive through the ages because they didn't survive through the ages with a bunch of people that were shallow and had weak backbones. It survived because somebody could stand up and say, "This is right and you ought to do it." And God doesn't need to adjust God's program to you. You need to adjust you to God's program. And if you make a promise, then keep your promise. Sometimes it's easier to make a promise than it is to keep a promise. It takes character to keep promises. Keep your faith promise missions. I'll tell you this. I last year, in regard to faith promise, we had a lot of promises made that were not kept in regard to finances with missions. I've told you for years, you're not making a promise to me. You're making a promise to God. I don't want you to make a promise to me. You didn't break a promise to me. You broke a promise to God, not to me. You make a promise, keep your promise. If you promise to do something in the church, then keep your promise. If you promise that you're going to be a greeter, then you be here and be a greeter. If you promise to be an usher, then you do what an usher does. If you promise to be a parking lot attendant, then you do what you're supposed to do. But this is God's work. And the New Testament church needs character. We need character. We need character to be on time, and character to be faithful, and character to control our tongues, and character to see to it that our duties are properly covered when we're unable to take care of them, and character to control our emotions, and character to keep our word. Hey, I think the church needs character so that we'll work hard. Just work hard. It takes character to do that. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:10, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than them all." It's talking about more abundant labor. We're all to work hard. Those of you that are employees of Martinsburg Christian Academy, abundantly labor. I love teachers that labor at teaching. I love it. I love it. There's nothing like watching a teacher that doesn't want to just say what needs to be said, but they're working hard to teach. Nothing like it. There's nothing like watching a teacher throw themselves in to the subject, whatever it is. Hey, I suppose it's probably a little easier to teach the Bible than it is to teach math. It's probably easier to teach the Bible than it is to teach English. It's easier to teach the Bible than it is to teach science. Let me tell you something. I respect a math teacher, an English teacher, or a science teacher that just throws themselves into it. And people walk away saying, "Wow, now that was good." Now, those subjects need to be taught, but somebody needs to abundantly work at teaching. That's what we ought to do, teachers. We ought to throw ourselves into that thing. I believe that as we work, we call it the work of the Lord. Hey, bus worker, throw yourself into it. You're called a nursery worker. Throw yourself into that thing. Look, we're not working for ourselves. We're working for Him. And folks, I get to be the pastor of the church, and I consider it an honored position. But let me explain. When you come down here to work at the church, you're not working for me. You're working for God. And you may work at Martinsburg Christian Academy at the grade school, but you're not working for John Doss. Now, he is your human supervisor, if you will. But ultimately, you ought to be looking over his shoulder and saying, "I'm working for God." And when you work at the high school, Joe Calling is the principal there. And he may be the human supervisor over there. But there is one that's at the top of the totem pole. And that's not me. And that's not a principal. And that's not a youth director. And that's not a bus director. It is God. If anybody ought to get our best, it's God. But it takes character to work hard. I think it'd be a shame for anybody in this auditorium. Look at this place. Just packed out. Wall to wall. I think it would be a shame for anybody in here that you lose your job because you won't work hard. It is a shame. The truth is, it ought to be a lost man that loses his job, not a saved man. Now, there are a variety of reasons why people might lose jobs. And I'm not here to critique or look at any one of those. I'm here just to say to you, Christian, rise up and work hard. Not only that, I think the church needs us all to have character so we aren't quitters. So we're not quitters. The Bible says in Acts 2:25, "For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for He is on my right hand, that I should not be moved." I should not be moved. Like I said, don't step out because of this sermon. Step up. I shall not be moved. Hey, choir, don't quit the choir. Don't quit the choir. Stay in the choir. Don't quit your soul winning. Stay with it. Brother Butch will enjoy this. Won't be long. We're going to tear into the grounds. We're going to have those weed whackers out there and the lawnmowers everywhere, and we're going to be pulling weeds and killing weeds, and a few of you will be smoking the weeds, and we're going to tear into that thing. Hey, don't quit your job. We need you. We need you. We need you to stick with it. Stick with your ground duty. Don't quit your nursery. We need you there. Don't quit your responsibility. Don't quit things. Hey, listen, I just have to tell you something, folks. Here's where we are in America. If it's hard, we quit. If it's hard, I quit. This is hard, I quit. It's hard, I quit. You can thank God that Jesus didn't have that attitude. You can thank God that Jesus said, it does not matter how hard it is, I'll do what I'm supposed to do. But there, in today's society, there are quitters just everywhere. I get folks, and this is not an exaggeration, probably three to four times a week, I talk to a pastor. And virtually every conversation I have with pastors across America is this. I can't keep people in their places. Every conversation has something to do with a lack of character. America is in bad shape. And you say, well, I think it's the politicians. I think it's a lack of spiritual character in America. I think it is that, you know, people a long time ago decided, you know something, I don't want to go to church on Sunday. I want to spend my weekend and do what I want to do. So we just started doing what we want to do instead of what God wants us to do. There are people that reject the church today because God requires something. God expects something. They won't come to church because God teaches to tithe. That's hard, and that's not what I want to do. They may tell me to live a certain way, and that's not what I want to do. And the right kind of preacher will get up and throw a fit about immorality, and that's not what I want to do. I don't want to control myself morally. I don't want to control my tongue. I don't want to control my emotions. I don't want to control. I don't want any control. I don't want anybody to control me. No wonder the churches in America are empty. There's a lack of character. People don't want to be told what to do. People don't want to be given guidelines. People don't want to be given expectations. People don't want to live by standards. People don't want to, people don't want a set of guidelines that are expected. I want to do what I want to do. America, there's a dearth of character. Don't quit. Keep going. But not only that, I think the church needs us all to learn the right attitude in regard to what we call service. Service. Our church is strong in this area, if you ask me. But it takes character to have the right attitude about church and church, the service of church. Hebrews 12:28 says, wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. You hear that? Serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. That's how God told us to serve. So how am I to serve God acceptably? In other words, there's a way to serve God that's not acceptable. If there is an acceptable way, that means there's an unacceptable way. Let me ask you, are you serving Him acceptably or unacceptably? Then it says we're to serve Him with reverence. What does that mean? That means remember who you're serving. You say, Brother Owens, what should be the quality of my service to God? You ought to serve like you're serving a king. Because you are the King of Kings. Acceptably, with reverence, then it says in godly fear. We don't talk much about godly fear anymore, but this told us we should serve Him acceptably. We ought to do it with reverence and then with godly fear. You ought to fear not doing God a good job. You ought to fear Him. You see, folks, choir, Brother Nash has got to be nice to you. And when you don't do your part, he says, I love you. And it's okay. It's okay that you miss all the time and you don't care like you should. It's what you have to do, Brother Nash. You better remember something. God is the one that you're ultimately disappointing. You say, well, Brother Nash was kind to me. God may have slapped the snot out of you. Yeah, you know, us human leaders, there's a requirement on us. We don't have any right to get real, real tough, you know. Because, you know, we got to get that lovey-dovey part in there. You know, we're to love one another and be patient with the brethren and all that good stuff. You better remember something. Everything that you and I do, we're doing for Him. We're doing it for God. And here it says that we are to serve Him acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Let me tell you, there's some of you, you better take another look at this thing called godly fear. You better watch out. It may be that you're about to do something and you don't fear God like you should. You say, well, I'm not afraid of you, Brother Owens. You don't have to fear me. You better fear God. You say, well, I don't fear Brother Doss. You don't have to fear Brother Doss. You better fear God. I had somebody say to me, you don't scare me. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to remind you there is a God. And ultimately, you're not serving me or him or some other leader around here. This is all about God. And He can knock the snot out of you. But it takes character, you see. Character. Character in regard to our attitude of service. We're to serve God. We're to serve one another. But you know, I'd be careful just coming to church to see what you can get. We're to come to church to see what we can give. I'm to serve you. You're to serve me. We're all to serve God. But if all you do is come to get what you can get, I don't see that attitude taught in the Bible. It's not just what you can get out of this thing. Let's go on. I think our churches need to learn how to pay attention. Pay attention. Acts 17:11, the Bible says this. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They received the word with all readiness of mind. Here, I'm saying to you, we've got to learn how to pay attention. If we don't pay attention, that takes character, though. It takes character. Parents, one of the issues of you teaching your children character is because there's nothing like being a teacher in the school and trying to teach kids that have no character and they won't pay attention. They just won't pay attention. It's very difficult. But here it's talking about a readiness of mind. There's some mind preparation. There's some issues about our character. I feel sorry. I meet preachers constantly that are discouraged. And maybe the most discouraging thing that a leader of God's people goes through is he can say it over and over and over again. He can warn and warn and warn. He can preach the same thing over and over and over again. And there are people that sit there and they don't pay attention to one thing that he's saying. We seem to have to be bit by the snake. Rather than believing when the preacher said there's a snake in the box, say, well, I'm going to check it out for myself. I'm telling you, I live my life that way. I live my life saying, whatever you do, don't do this. So this week, 20 of us get together and go do it. Learn how to pay attention. You go to meetings. There's some of you, you could be promoted at work. You just pay attention. When point number two on the boss's outline was for you to do something, and after the meeting, you walk up to him and say, well, do you want me to do that? And he's thinking, I just told you to do that. You're not leadership quality. Leadership quality listens. Leadership quality listens for the details. Hey, church announcements, I could not tell you. I could stand up and make the same announcement 10 times. Somebody walk up to me and say, hey, we're going to do this year. And I'm thinking, hello, you're the ticker. Give me back my 22 4x6 cards that I wasted on your brain, baby. You know, you could demand that your mind concentrate. It takes character to follow instructions. It just takes it. The church needs us to learn how to pay attention. Not only that, I think the church needs us to learn the importance of obedience. It takes character. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:9, for to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. I'll go to churches and I'll actually watch people. They don't even want to obey what's going on in the church service. The pastor, you know, the song director says, "Let's all stand." I've been to churches where people, rows of people, won't even stand. We're all just standing. Well, I'm not going to stand. Open a songbook. I'm not going to open a songbook. Let's sing. I'm not going to sing. We're going to pray. Brother Bush, have you ever seen anybody when everybody else is praying just looking around? You haven't? He knows he's getting set up right now. Well, I've seen it. Because one day I had my head bowed right there, and Brother Bush come over and bumped me and said, "Take a look, buddy, right now. They're not praying." The church has almost become like the world. When I go to a ball game and the national anthem's played, I'm standing up. I don't like going to a ball game and a bunch of beer drinking, red communists standing around or sitting around saying, "I'm not going to stand up. I'm not going to put my hand on my heart." Then go to the country of your choice, but get out of mine. I'll tell you what, it's sad in America. You know, we'll say, "Turn that cell phone off in church." There are parents that are backing their kids. Their kids play with their cell phones during church. Parents are apt to get mad at me at this point. Because I'll say, your children are texting, they're playing with their cell phones. And the parents will say, "Well, that's my choice." Wrong choice. Wrong choice. We need to learn obedience. It's part of character. Not only that, we need to learn to finish what we start. John 4:34, the Bible says, "Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." Hey, don't just attend Sunday school. Finish by coming to the morning church service. Don't just come to church. Go to the morning Sunday school hour. I'll tell you something. My dear friend, Paul Mongan, passed away on Friday. I spent hours and hours and hours and hours with that man. Brother English and I were talking about it earlier. He loved me dearly. Paul Mongan would have taken a bullet for me. There's no doubt in my mind. And I loved him dearly. I'll tell you something about Paul Mongan. I was talking to his dear wife, Jerry, Friday, just a couple hours after Paul went to heaven. She said, "Preacher," she said, "I had to fuss at my husband less than 14 hours ago. He was dying. He could hardly breathe. He could not sleep. He was dying," she said, "because he said, before I die, I'm going to finish the work for Tuesday night's deacon's meeting." And he did. He did. No legs. Could not breathe. Dying, and knew it. And he knew it. And he said to his wife, "I started this. I'm finishing the notes for preacher for Tuesday night. Because if I'm gone, I wanted to have a deacon's meeting." And you won't be back to church tonight. Because you want to stay home and watch a ball game. Your influence in the church is going to be pretty powerful. We need you to help us with the next generation. You're probably going to help us turn America around with that kind of character. Some of you need to finish your marriage. You started it, you finish it. You say, "I'm going to, brother, I'm going to shoot him." We have an invitation in church. Some of you need to stick around and see what happens when people are getting saved and baptized. The church service is not finished. I think the church needs to learn how to stay organized. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:40, "Let everything be done decently and in order." Listen, we set these ministries up. This ministry will function well if you'll just follow the guidelines. But when you start tampering with everything and you decide, "Well, this isn't important or that's not important," it is important. Bus captains, I look out here and we use a little rope system to take our children from a bus route to their Sunday school class. And the kids grab a hold of that. That's important.
Keep doing it. Nursery workers, follow the rules. There's never to be anybody behind those nursery doors except for approved nursery workers. Don't you change that on me. You have no right to change that on me. Those little things are important. And folks, too often we do just enough to get by. God deserves more than that. I think the church needs to learn to clean up after ourselves. Hey, and everybody, everywhere. I'm very pleased to tell this story. Our young people had gone to a ball game. Martinsburg Christian Academy kids had gone to a ball game. Cheerleaders, ball players. They had gone into a McDonald's. And instead of going in and totally trashing the place, they went in, they were sitting and talking with some other adults. Said they're getting ready to leave, and a man walked over that had watched the kids, walked over to John Dawson and said, "I've never been so impressed with a group of young people. Here, I'm going to give you enough money, take them all out for an activity." Gave them a whole bunch of money. They all went bowling on a man they'd never met before in their life as a result of their behavior. That wasn't a group of young people trashing the McDonald's on a ball trip. They cleaned up after themselves. Church needs to learn character, and we need it. We need character of loyalty. You know, it takes character to be loyal. Loyalty is a control issue. Controlling opinions and gossip and friendships. Loyalty is hard for negative talking people. Because you can't control your tongue. You won't control your heart. You won't control your heart. You won't control your loyalty. There's somebody here today, you ought to get saved. Why? It's right. It's right. Somebody here, you ought to get baptized. You got saved, you've never been baptized. God commands you to get baptized. You know what? I don't think today I'm going to beg people to do things. Won't you just get baptized because it's right to do? Somebody here needs to join the church. You've been saved and baptized. Won't you just do what's right? So what are you going to offer me? How about you offer God obedience? I'll tell you, as a pastor, you get pretty sick and tired of babying everybody all the time. Got to pat everybody on the head and rub their belly and make it all right. Why don't you just do what's right? Do right. Do right. Do right until the stars fall. Do it because it's right to do. Not because you're rewarded. Not because you get a promotion. Just because you love God. Do right. That's what America needs. Keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart. You understand what God's saying? You do your part. And if we will, God will continue to bless us. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to get born again. You need to get saved. There's a hell. I don't want you to go to it. God's provided salvation for you. All you have to do is receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior. You can go to heaven someday when you die. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that would say, "Preacher, if I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. I want to be saved. It is the right thing to do. I therefore want to do what's right. I want to receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior." Do you raise your hand and say, "That's me"? I see hands. I see hands up, people saying, it's right. It's what I ought to do. It's what I'm going to do. Good. There are people in here. You need to be baptized. You never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. It's right to do. People of character do what's right to do. Who here would say, "Preacher, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized. I need to take care of it. It's the right thing to do. God spoke it in my heart." Will you raise your hand and say, "That's me"? I see a hand. Who else? You say, "I need to be baptized. I've been saved, but I've never been baptized." How about this? There are people in here who would say, "Preacher, I'm saved, I'm baptized, I need to join the church. Need to get me a local New Testament assembly with which to associate. It's what I need to do. It's right to do. You don't have to beg me. It's just what I ought to do, and God spoke to my heart about it." Will you raise your hand and say, "That's me"? God bless you, I see that hand. Who else? You say, "That's what I need to do." God bless you, I see that hand. Who else? "It's what I need to do." You can put those hands down. Somebody here, you heard, we called the roll this morning. How's your character? How's your character? Keeping your word? Doing what you're supposed to do? Have to be babied? Pampered? Constantly attended to? Maybe you need the altar this morning. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play at this time. I'll ask the men to take their places. Choir, a song of invitation, if you will. If you need to come, you come. our Sunday school teachers that are to walk this aisle today. There are assistant Sunday school teachers. There are workers that ought to walk the aisle and say, you know what? I better take my job a little more seriously because of the character issue. Remember, don't get mad and quit. I think there are times when responsibilities for people need to change. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you agreed that you were going to do certain things. You're not doing it. Rather than you quitting on me and quitting on people and quitting on God, you just keep doing what's right. And you're going to adjust you. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I commune with mine own heart and my spirit. Make diligent search. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Somebody need to exercise some character at work, and character at home, and character with your mouth, and character with your ears, and character with your behavior.